Welcome to God and Country Radio, where I discuss this current social, political, economic, and prophetic events of life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. 2 weeks ago, on July 26, Congress's National Security Subcommittee held its hearing on UAPs, Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, the new name for UFOs. I take it that the title UFO no longer has the connotation of seriousness and sophistication, so they now call them UAPs. Congress held a similar hearing back in May of 2022 to hear a report from an investigation group created by Congress called the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group, or the AOIMSG for short. And in that hearing, the conclusion was that UAPs, UFOs, are real. And the task force compiled about 143 incidences of UAP encounters, but the military doesn't know what they are, so they allege. But the sightings are frequent and continuing, and often occurring in military training areas or other designated airspace. Other countries have had their reports of UAPs, and the United States has communicated with these countries about their findings. The Pentagon also confirms the authenticity of several videos and images showing these UAPs. The Deputy Director of National Intelligence, Scott Bray, testified that his task force does not have any wreckage or indications suggesting that the objects have extraterrestrial origins. So why this year is Congress having another committee meeting about this issue? Well, because David Grush, one of the investigators on the Airborne Objective Identification and Management Synchronization Group, came forward and said that the task force is not telling Congress the whole truth. Grush said that the government has retrieved some of these vehicles and does have the bodies of non-human pilots. And the Pentagon is keeping this information from Congress and the American public. And this is creating a constitutional crisis where deep state bureaucracy, the military complex, is operating independently of congressional authority. The testimony in this hearing was that Congress isn't even allowed to know the budgets being spent on these programs. In the words of Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee, it's time to take back our country. We need to tell folks at the Pentagon they work for us. We don't work for them. This is an issue of government transparency. We can't trust a government that doesn't trust its people. Also, recently, before this hearing took place, Congressman Gates, Burchett, and Luna went down to Eglin Air Force Base in Florida on a fact-finding mission, and they were denied access to any information about their UFO encounters. And Gates had to explain to the officers there the Constitution and the chain of command, that Congress outranks the commanders at that base. But the sad thing is that this was not immediately obvious to these military people. And this is a real problem in many functions of our government. There is a deep state operating as if it's above Congress. Congress is seen as an inconvenient nuisance, getting in the way of a totalitarian state. And so at the start of this UAP congressional hearing, the chairman, Congressman Grothman from Wisconsin, said that this hearing was about more than UAPs, but the principles that define our government. And, you know, at this point, I could do a whole program about how the deep state is operating independently of Congress and creating agency laws independent of Congress. The Supreme Court recently had to slap down the EPA in two cases for overstepping their mandates from Congress concerning the Clean Air Act. But that's a whole other issue. You know, in this program, I want to focus on the UFO issue. Now, I wish I could tell you that at this hearing, David Grush and the two other men testifying revealed the details of what they know about the Pentagon's UFO projects. but for allegedly national security reasons, that meeting with the congressman was held in private. So we'll never know. So much for transparency. And the consensus is that the military doesn't want anyone to know about the technology they have discovered and technology they're still working on, because the technology is so advanced that whatever country has this technology would be unstoppable. This is about power. This is about control. The silence over what the Pentagon has allegedly discovered about UFOs isn't because the military is concerned with public panic or some ontological crisis. The Pentagon simply wants to be the first to reverse engineer what they've discovered. And according to certain testimony, physicists and engineers still have not been able to recreate the propulsion systems of these UFO crafts. The materials and, you know, how to activate these zero gravity generators are still a mystery. You know, like taking a nuclear bomb back to scientists in the 1700s and asking them to re-engineer the thing. They wouldn't even know about radioactivity or how to refine uranium. Now, I know all this sounds pretty wild and crazy, but if you do the research, you'll find that all this firsthand testimony is being reported. You know, it's just really amazing how the more one reads about this stuff, the more the bizarre becomes normalized. So that references to the grays, the tic-tac, the orbs, the artificial gravity fields becomes accepted conventional reality. But here's the big issue. Is it really true? Is David Grush and the other whistleblowers telling the truth about a UFO cover-up, or are they in some sort of mass psychosis delusion? Or maybe this whole thing is a government false flag to distract people from other issues. So what we have here is a question of, how do we know what is true and what is false? And this is why I believe this UFO issue is so important, because it challenges us in discerning and determining truth. Like Pilate, the skeptic who said to Jesus, "What is truth?" John 18, "Therefore Pilate said to Jesus, 'So you're a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I'm a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" So here Jesus says he has come to testify to the truth, and Pilate, just like many relativists in our day, doubts that truth can even be known. He didn't even know how to determine what is true and what is false. And so this whole UFO phenomenon speaks to this whole issue of Christian apologetics. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul points out a number of proofs for the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:4, the resurrection was prophesied according to the scripture. This was an event that the inspired prophets of old foretold. And then the second proof, 1 Corinthians 15:5, the resurrected Jesus appeared to witnesses, first to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 brethren, to James, and then to the Apostle Paul. So here's the point. It would be easy to compile more than 500 UFO witnesses. If you go online, the National Archives has 35 hours of video of credible witnesses recounting their UFO sightings. Pilots, military personnel, doctors, university professors. These are not crackpots. So what are we to say to this from a biblical apologetic point of view? That we're to believe the 500 witnesses of Christ's resurrection, but not believe the 500 witnesses of UFOs? Should we be claiming that those who saw UFOs just misidentified what they saw? It was their wishful thinking, it was a reflection of some light. Well, that's exactly what the critics of Christianity say about the 500 witnesses to the resurrection, that these people must have been mistaken. They just saw someone who looked like Jesus. A number of years ago, I did a presentation about proofs and apologetics, and to help people understand how biblical proofs operate, I illustrated my point with the example of an alien abduction. Now, I'm not saying that alien abductions have ever happened, but I'm just using it as an illustration. So, if I were to claim I was abducted by aliens, most likely reasonable people would not believe me. But what if I showed them some proof, such as the burn marks in my lawn where the flying saucer landed? Well, of course, someone would say, I went out there with a blowtorch and burned the grass. But then I bring forth witnesses that say I was absent for a period of time. Yeah, but then I could have just been hiding out in the barn. Well, then I show the cut marks where the aliens made incisions in my body. And of course, I could have done that to myself. But then I bring forth a witness who says he saw a glowing orb in my backyard, and he actually saw me carried off by strange creatures. But even then, someone can easily claim that this witness is in on the hoax. I mean, people tell lies as a gag, you know, just to see how many people they can fool. You know, I know it's a twisted sense of humor, but there are people who delight in this. There are people who want to see how far they can spread a lie on the internet. It must give them some sense of power. But here's my point. There is no way someone could ultimately prove he was abducted by aliens. Even when the Bible says that in legal proceedings, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, the Bible is not claiming that two or three witnesses conclusively prove something is true. The Bible is simply stating that it takes two or three witnesses before a claim should even be considered. Now, ultimately, what is truth is determined by one's worldview. For example, a prior belief in human depravity, a belief in the supernatural, a belief in aliens. If you don't have a prior belief in human depravity, you will never believe that the criminal did something wrong. You have to begin with some worldview suspicion. Now, for those who believe in aliens and UFOs, it would take very little evidence to convince such people of an abduction claim. But for those who don't believe in aliens and UFOs, all the evidence in the world wouldn't convince them. So a prior worldview affects how we weigh evidence. Now, the evidence has to be there if something's to be true, but the evidence alone doesn't convince. There needs to be the burn marks in the grass, the missing time, the two eyewitnesses, but those proofs alone do not make believers. And that's why there's this old adage, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So the point I was trying to make in my presentation is that biblical proof and apologetics operate in the same way. The physical proofs for the resurrection have to all be there for the resurrection to be true. The empty tomb, the witnesses of the Roman soldiers, the witnesses of the people seeing the resurrected Christ. But the Bible is not absolutely proving the resurrection on the basis of that evidence. The expected evidence is there, but final belief is based on a chosen worldview, a prior spiritual moral decision. So that salvation is not granted to people who simply have greater mental powers of investigation or greater availability to proof. God grants salvation primarily on the basis of man's moral choice, so that one doesn't even have to have firsthand evidence to believe the gospel. People believe the gospel because they know morally in their heart that it's true. It's a huge mistake on the part of some Christian apologists in claiming that the biblical proofs for the resurrection prove the resurrection beyond the shadow of a doubt. They don't. Now, let's get back to the whole UFO discussion and this congressional hearing. Christians of all people should have the worldview that accepts the reality of UFOs, UAPs, or whatever you want to call them, because the Bible is so replete with references to the angelic race and demons. Satan and his demons were cast down to the earth. They weren't cast down to Mars. They weren't cast down to Venus. They weren't cast down to Alpha Centauri. Satan is the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And here's a text, Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them, as at Sinai in holiness. And this is looking back at what happened in the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, Deuteronomy 33:2. The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand, there were flashing lights for them. So why does God have chariots? Well, apparently the angelic race, though spiritual, though in a different dimension, has transportation. As Elijah being taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah's servant's eyes were opened, and he saw all of the angelic chariots surrounding Elijah. Could demons also create such vehicles? Maybe so, why not? Now, what the Christian community immediately objects to, and what doesn't fit the biblical Christian worldview, is the world's interpretation that these aliens are from other planets. That fits the Darwinistic evolutionary worldview, that if evolution happened here, it could also happen somewhere else, and so there must be intelligent beings on other planets. And this has been popularized by modern sci-fi, Star Wars, Star Trek, that the universe is filled with other races of people. The Bible tells us that there are only two races, the angelic race and the human race. And the biblical explanation for UFOs is that this is demonic activity. And we really shouldn't be surprised or alarmed at this. This is what God's people have understood since the beginning, that there are spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, in discussions about UFOs, proponents claim that UFO disclosure will produce an ontological shock in the world. Ontological is the combination of two words, two Greek words, being plus logos. And it refers to the nature of being, who we are. And the claim is that the revelation of these extraterrestrial beings will overturn many religious traditions. And this may be why the unsaved, the secular humanists, are really pushing for UFO disclosure. Well, first of all, the Christian who knows his Bible will not be ontologically shocked. It will not threaten his faith. It will actually build his faith. Now, of course, some Christians may be initially disturbed because they have never thought of the demonic realm as having the ability or the capacity to appear visually in bodily form or to build machines. They may never have considered the possibility of a direct interaction between unsaved humanity and the demonic realm as the world enters into the age of the apocalypse. But a simple re-examining of all of the biblical texts concerning angels and demons will clear up that confusion pretty quickly. You know, the more I study the subject, the more I'm convinced that the UFO phenomenon will build our faith and help our witness, not hurt it. I really believe the ontological shock will be for the materialistic atheist. You know, they're going to be faced with the reality of principalities in heavenly places, other races, other beings here on earth, ancient beings with advanced intelligence and powers to operate in other dimensions. So what the Bible says about angels and demons is actually true. Just imagine how the unsaved world will respond when they begin to discover the truth of the spiritual realm. How will they process the moral universe they have tried to deny? You know, remember in the apocalypse, the people of this world are blaspheming God. And my guess is that given the apocalyptic signs, they're going to have to start believing in God. The Antichrist might even depict God as an evil force that wants to keep man down and wants to deny men knowledge, the ideology of Gnosticism. And this revelation of the spiritual world will likely produce all sorts of anger and distress. Atheism, evolution, are states of denial, so that there is not this cognitive dissonance. People don't have to deal with their sin or where they're going to spend eternity. Now, of course, we could expect with more UFO disclosure and proof, there is going to be a continual deception, a new twist in explaining away the supernatural. The current lie will continue that these UFOs are aliens from distant planets. The Christian community is going to see them for what they are, demons. We can be sure the unsaved world will embrace the aliens from other planet narrative. And they'll probably admire and worship these beings. You know, already most of the UFO proponents and all of their testimonies claiming that these beings are benevolent. They're coming with the Gnostic heresy that mankind can advance, that we're our own saviors, that the light is within us, that we're gods. And mankind just has to believe in his own potential. And the message associated with these UFOs is just mainstream New Age religion. And that should be no surprise. You know, Satan and his demonic workers are liars. 2 Corinthians 11:14, he disguises himself as an angel of light. So if there's more UFO disclosures, don't expect to be hearing the truth about these beings and their true origin. Now, interesting enough, Hollywood has just come out with a new movie called Jules. And it's actually filmed right here in New Jersey, up in Booton. It's a comedy about an old farmer and his wife who take in an extraterrestrial. But the point of this movie is that this gray is kind, he's warm, he's a benevolent creature who is the victim of human prejudice, and he actually helps bring meaning to life. That kind of foreshadows what the future narrative will be. Now, in closing, I've been talking about these UFOs, these UAPs, as if they're real. In the congressional hearing, the conclusion last year and this year is that these UFOs are real. They are showing up on radar and visually. And they're able to maneuver like nothing we have here on Earth. Again, one theory is that this is all just one big government conspiracy, a big cover-up, mass psychosis. But my contention is that the reality of UFOs should be considered. It should not be alarming. It should not shake our worldview, because the scriptures themselves support the whole existence of such beings inhabiting our world. I think the surprise for the Christian community will be to discover that the demonic world can interact with the physical world more than we realize. And that's what I'm going to discuss next week. This is a teaser. Next week, I'll discuss more about the congressional hearings and address what the Bible teaches about demons inhabiting physical bodies and what might be the end goal of Satan and all of this UFO phenomenon. Because of the amount of information here, I need to stretch this topic out into 3 programs. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. This is Christianity and UFOs Part 2. Program 614, Christianity UFO Part 1 was Program 606. For the video version of this program, the YouTube and Rumble channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayer and support. May Jesus Christ reign. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that you're building our faith through world events. But help us to be strong in faith, to not doubt. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.